You are listening to Standing in the Gap. If you would like more information, please visit us online at www.westendbsg.org. Thank you for listening and enjoy today's episode. You've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. You've got to be your own man, not a puppet on a string. Never compromise what's right and uphold your family name. You've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything.
Welcome to another episode of Standing in the Gap. I'm your host, Pastor Josh Tompkins, and we are back again today to do what we always do, and that is to inform the uninformed, to be a light in a dark world, to be a source of truth in what could be called a fake news culture. We're here to take a stand where others are giving in, and I know as well as you do that this is not always the popular thing to do, but I do believe it's the necessary thing to do. We are here a people of truth, and we want to broadcast that truth as far and wide as we can. And it's also our desire to deal with real-world issues, because I do understand that there's a great deal talked about in church and in Christian circles that have no real-world application to you, the listener, to people in the pews. It doesn't hit you where you live, so it has been and will continue to be our goal here to talk about things that people are actually dealing with. We want to deal with things that matter to you. So today I want to discuss an issue that I know will hit everybody that's listening to this. This is a topic that is for you. If you go to church, it's for you. If you've been to church in your lifetime, it's for you. If you're currently looking for a church, or even if you're without a church right now, this is for you. So basically, this is for everyone. I want to talk about what makes a good church. How do you find a good church? You could ask the question, am I currently in a good church? As we go to church, as we drive by churches and consider churches, how do we know if they are good ones or not? Let's not assume they're all good, because they're not. Not all churches are good, not all denominations are good. We don't need to assume that a church is good. We need to examine and see if a church is actually a good church. So let me explain the reason why we're doing this is because we live in the Bible Belt and there is literally a church on every single corner. I talk to people daily that tell me where they go to church and how good their church is. I read on social media just about every Sunday about how great church services were, about how people have gotten their worship on. I hear people say they're looking for a good church and can't find one. But on the other hand, I do hear a lot of criticism about bad churches and bad pastors and terrible church services. So again, my question is, what makes a good church? And how do you know if you are in a good church, or if you're looking? How do you find a good church? Again, they're not all good. And this is, to me, an extremely important issue. This might sound a little crazy to you, but I believe that what church you go to is one of the most important decisions in your life. This should not be taken lightly. The number one decision in your life is who you will worship and submit your life to. And that's easy for me. I submit my life to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The number two most important decision you will make is who you marry. I've made that decision. And number three is where you go to church. It really matters where you go to church. Not all churches, again, are the same. Not all denominations are the same. It is extremely important for your and your family's spiritual health and vitality that you be in a good biblical church. So let's look at it, and hopefully by the time we're finished here, you will know what makes a good church. You might even have to make some drastic decisions or changes in your life to find a good one or to get out of a bad one. And that may be uncomfortable for many of you listening here, but these are important decisions. So let's look at it. If I'm shopping for a church, and there's a lot of church shoppers out there, if I'm out looking, what am I going to look for? If you're asking me that, if I'm looking for a new church, I've moved into a new town, and I'm looking for a new church, what am I looking for? Let me start with, first of all, and I do this a lot, I want to start with what not to look for in a church. This is not what I'm going to be looking for. And this, unfortunately, is what a lot of people are looking for. And this is, unfortunately, what a lot of people are telling us pastors that we should be giving people to get them in our church. But this is not, again, not what we're looking for. Number one, I am not looking for community. I know we live in a culture where people want relationships. They want friendships. It's like Cheers. We want to go where everybody knows your name and they're always glad you came. And the problem with that is this isn't Cheers. This is church. But there's so many like this. There are community churches. There's family churches. There's country clubbish churches and cliquish churches. And the draw for these churches is who is there. The draw is who you sit with. The draw is who you hang out with, who you're in a small group with, or who your Sunday school teacher is, who you play golf with. While there's nothing wrong with having fellowship or friendship in a church, it's a good thing. It is. It's good to have that. But it's not what makes a good church. It's not what you ought to be looking for in a church. It's not a biblical preference. It's a childish preference. My kids are constantly saying, I want to be in and around my friends. We'll tell them we're going somewhere. We're going to this place or that place. Will my friends be there? Will I know someone there? This is not what you should be looking for in a church. It's not a biblical preference. It's a childish preference. It's not what you should be looking for, and it's not what you should be bragging about when it comes to your church. I'm not looking to go to a church where I know somebody. Number two, I'm not looking for coffee. And this may sound funny, and it is, but I moved to Lynchburg in 2008, and I went to my very first mega church service. And it was the first time I ever saw a coffee shop in a church. And today, every new church is following that model, and they are offering coffee hour and coffee time and free coffee. You can't drive by a church sign anymore without it saying we have free coffee and free Wi-Fi. Now, I love coffee. We drink a lot of coffee in our church, but the coffee is not what makes a good church. You could put a Starbucks and a Krispy Kreme in your foyer, and that won't make it a good church. It might get some people. It'd be a good draw, but it's nothing more than a carrot on a stick, that the church is offering you something superficial to get you in the door. It's nothing more than a superficial amenity that draws people to the churches. It's something that's appealing to the eyes and not to the soul. It's what the church has to offer you. It's what we use to get you in the door. If you choose a church because of something as petty as a cup of coffee, you have either a major spiritual problem or a massive coffee addiction. For me, it's like choosing a hospital, not because of the physician, but because of the coffee in the cafeteria. We don't choose hospitals for the superficial things like the coffee or the colors on the floor or the TVs on the wall or the flashy signs that draw everybody in. We choose hospitals for the doctors and the care that we receive. Shouldn't it be the same for our churches? When was the last time you heard something like this? I'm not getting treated at that hospital. I don't like the doctor, but I sure like the music they play on the elevators. You don't hear that, but we hear it about churches all the time. I hear about churches that are just getting started, and the first thing they do is get a worship band together. Because obviously you can't have a church without a killer worship band. But it doesn't make sense, and these things do not make a good church. So I'm not looking for community, and I'm not looking for coffee, and I'm also not looking for a comfortable place to go. I hear this over and over, that what makes a good church is that it's a comfortable place to go. People walk out and say, well, I felt comfortable there. And I tell you, we really want to feel comfortable anymore. We want to feel at home. We want to feel loved. We want to feel welcome. We want soft chairs and friendly people. So churches have started catering to that felt need. They offer a place that is cozy and comfortable. They say, come as you are. They say, it's the perfect place for people who aren't. Because, you know, you don't want to feel like you're a sinner. You know, you got to be comfortable. They train their greeters to meet you at the door with a smile, a hug, and a free complimentary gift. They offer no commitment. They offer low commitment services. They tell you, don't worry about tithing. Don't worry about singing. We have a band singing for you. Don't worry about the lights. We'll keep the lights on dim so that you feel comfortable. Nobody's looking at you. We want a comfortable service. We don't want preaching that convicts and makes me feel bad. I want to walk out feeling good. So churches say, we just want you to kick off your shoes and feel at home. Now, there's definitely a need for people to feel comfortable at church. That's great. But I'm way more concerned about how God feels than I am about how a visitor feels. And I'm much more concerned about being friendly to Christ than I am to the world. I will not, and I don't want to, cater our services in our church to the lost. I want to cater it to God. I don't care so much that people feel welcome, but that the Spirit of God feels welcome. And believe me, based upon the Bible, when the Spirit of God is present in a church, it's not so much a comforting feeling as it is a heavy conviction and a contrition of the heart and a confession of sin. So honestly, if I'm going church shopping, I'm not looking for the most comfortable place, because comfort isn't what makes a good church. When you hear somebody say, I felt so comfortable at that church, they might secretly be saying the Holy Spirit wasn't at that church. Number four, if I'm church shopping and I'm getting up on Sunday morning to go to find a church, I am not looking for the coolest church. This is a new thing too. Everybody wants the coolest. They want the most exciting church in town. Again, the church with the best music, the church with the biggest Easter egg drop from a helicopter, the church with the current up-to-date sermon series based off the newest Hollywood movie release. I mean, how cool is that? My pastor's preaching about Star Wars and Frozen. Again, a church with a hip pastor standing behind the see-through pulpit with the funny sermons, or better yet, sitting on a stool in a non-confrontive way. You know, that makes me think that this guy's relatable. He's on my level. He's a down-to-the-earth, cool guy. He's not even wearing a suit. This guy's a rebel. I love this guy. I'm not choosing it for a cool church or a cool pastor, because the bad thing about a cool church is that what's cool always changes, and the church has to change with it. What's cool today will not be tomorrow. What you consider relevant today won't be tomorrow. You'll spend more time changing with the times than preaching a tried and true gospel that does not change with the times, but changes the people. I don't care how cool your church is. I don't care how off the hook your music is, or how trendy your youth group name is, or how fancy your children's ministry is, or how exciting your worship service is. It does not mean that God is doing great things, and it doesn't mean you have a good church. Now, the last one of what I'm not looking for. I'm not looking to continue in the church that I've always been going to. Now, this one's going to be a little touchy, because a lot of people are just going to say, I'm not looking for a church. I don't even need to listen to this. I'm in my church. And I'm just going to go where I've always went no matter what. No questions asked. This has always been my church, and it always will be. I got married here. I'll be buried here. I've been here 30 years. There's no need in leaving now. My mamaw brought me. I was baptized here. My kids were baptized here. I went to Bible school here. I've got a pew named after me. I've got my own hymnal, my own saved seat with my own regular parking spot. My family goes with me. We have the best potluck dinners in town. I know it might not be the most doctrinally sound church around, and I know I'm not learning or growing, and I know we're not evangelizing and reaching new people. I know, but it's my church. You couldn't get these people out of this church if it burned down. They'd show up the next weeks and try to find their pew. They don't care who the pastor is. They don't care what the church is doing or isn't doing. They don't care if it's biblical. They don't care what it's teaching or isn't teaching. They don't care if they're growing or not. It's their church, and they will always go to their church. Honestly, a lot of people sitting in pews today, that church could turn into a Mormon church and they'd still go. Just because it's your church and you've been there your whole life and your papaw's the pastor and your best good friend is a deacon doesn't make it a good church. I'm sorry, but your family church, your home church, your same old church might just be a bad church, and you might need to get out of it for your sake and for your family's sake. I'm not looking to stay in the same place I've always been. Again, these are things that people are looking for in a church. These are things that we as pastors are told to give people to get them to come to church. But these aren't what I'm looking for in a church, because these things do not make a good church. If these things are all you got in your church, you've got nothing. So what does? What is really important in a church? How should I choose where me and my family will worship and serve God? If I'm looking for a church, I'm going to tell you here's what I'm after. I'm not going to look at those superficial things that we just mentioned. You can find those things out in one service. It's superficial. It's like choosing a wife after one date. You're choosing her because of superficial things found on the outside. You know on your first date that the girl is going to put on her best possible face for that one date. You need to get to know her before you marry her. You need to get to know the real her. Get to know the inner workings of that person. Get to know the depth of who she is. It's one of the reasons that divorce is so high, because people marry for superficial things, and we divorce when we find out the real ugly stuff on the inside. And it's the same thing for a church. The reason there's so much church hopping and shopping nowadays is because people choose churches over superficial matters, and when they find out the real thing, when the makeup comes off, it's scary. And they leave, and they're stuck with an ugly church. What we really need to do is get to know the church. There's a Beauty and the Beast quote that rings true in relationships and in finding churches. And yeah, I'm quoting Beauty and the Beast. I did go see the movie. But the quote is, "Don't be deceived by appearances, for true beauty is found within." That's true in relationships. That's true in churches. Don't be deceived by the outside superficial things that don't really matter. True beauty in a person and in a church is found deep within. So we don't need to make a church decision based upon first appearances, one service. We need to dig a lot deeper to find a good church. Dig deeper to find out the important things, the things that matter. And I'm going to give you just two or three things that really matter here. The important things. Number one, I'm looking for a church that has good doctrine. Doctrine is a good word that means what they believe. This is what they stand on and stand for. This is their foundation. Jesus mentioned in Matthew 7 about how important foundations are. It's what we build upon. It's the most important issue. And I want to know, and you should want to know, what a church believes. I'm not going to go to a church that believes differently than I do. More importantly, I wouldn't go to one that believes differently than the Bible. So I would check, wouldn't you? You'd be amazed at how many people, when they're asking about my church, ask me about the music and have not asked me about the doctrine. They care more about what's being sung than they do about what's being taught. So we should check, right? Before you start going to a church, if you're in a church, you need to find out. So what do you do? I would go to the website. This should be front and center. This should be big and bold on the website. But for some reason, it's not on websites anymore. Maybe because people aren't interested. So they put their song list up instead of their doctrine list. So if you can't find it on the website, then I would ask them personally. I would go to the pastor and I'd ask them what they believe about the core fundamental truths of the Christian faith. I would ask them what they believe about the scriptures. How do they view the Bible? Do they hold to the inspiration and inerrancy of the Bible? Because this is a deal breaker. Is the Bible the only rule of faith and practice? Good churches have an extremely high view of scripture and hold to it as the very word of God. If yours doesn't, it's not a good church. Find a new one. Ask them what they believe about the person of God, the birth of Christ, the deity of Christ, the Trinity, the depravity of man, the work of Christ on the cross, the salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, the ordinances, and even go as far as asking them what they believe about the perseverance of the saints. These things are so important, yet they are so overlooked. Most don't know and most don't care. Most don't even know what they personally, where they personally stand on these issues. We are living in a theologically and doctrinally ignorant culture in the church. Because they've been in churches that don't teach. Burke Parsons, who will be replacing R.C. Sproul one day, said, "Much of the reason for the doctrinal ignorance in church today is a lack of doctrinal preaching from the pulpit." And I agree, most pastors, and this is a quote from me, you can put my name on it, most pastors don't have a theological bone in their body, which means most churches and most Christians are about an inch deep in their faith. This is important because the deeper your faith goes, the more ability you have to withstand the trials of life. Also, the deeper your faith goes, the higher your praise goes. The deeper our theology, the higher our doxology. So a good church is a doctrinally sound church. A good church is one where you're growing biblically and spiritually. You ought to be learning and growing in the knowledge of the things of Christ and in His Word. And if yours isn't a church like that, and if you aren't growing, then you're probably not in a good church. So I'm looking for the doctrine. And number two, I'm looking for the details. I want to pay attention to the details, and here's just a few of the details I would look. I would write these things down when you're looking for a church or in your church. Number one, I said ask the church about its doctrine. Number two, check its details out. Here's just a few. The detail of teaching. The church's type of teaching. God's Word should be the center of all they do. God's Word will have the center of attention in the worship services. It won't be 45 minutes of singing and 30 of preaching, or 30 and 30, or even 60 minutes of singing and 20 minutes of preaching. The Word of God should and will have preeminence in the service of a good church. Not only that, they will have a strong commitment to high-quality biblical teaching. If a church holds to a high view of Scripture, they will not be satisfied with rants, with bumper sticker sermons, with unprepared sermons, and with Saturday night specials. They want to be fed. They want to hear and understand and apply Scripture. They don't want topical 20-minute feel-good sermons. They don't want gospel light. They don't want a salvation message every week. They want to be taught the Word of God by called and qualified and gifted men of God. Steve Lawson said, "I believe at the core of any healthy church is a vibrant exposition of God's Word." And I agree. A good church is a Bible-teaching church, and if yours isn't, it's not a good church. When I go to a church, I want to see teaching. I want to be taught something. I want to walk out knowing I learned something. The second detail is look at their leadership. As goes the leader, so goes the church. So find out if the church's leaders function by the New Testament. Do they understand the centrality of Christ as the head of the church and His desire to rule His church through a plurality of godly men? I've been in churches and seen churches with unqualified men and, yes, even women behind the pulpit. All women are unqualified to lead a church. If you're in a church with a woman behind the pulpit preaching and teaching to men, then you are not in a good church and you need to get out of it. It's one thing to have an unworthy leader, that's all of us. It's another to have an unqualified leader, and this is non-negotiable. I don't care how charismatic he is. I don't care if he feels he's called. I don't care if his dad, if he's your dad's brother's cousin's grandpa. If he isn't biblically qualified, he has no right to lead God's church. Get out. That's just in the details. Check the pastor out. There should be something on the website about him. The third detail is the order of the church. You can see this in a visit. Paul said, in speaking of the church, let all things be done decently and in order. The church's ministry, including its services, its teaching, and its administration, should all have a clear order. Some churches are complete chaos. You can't get anything done without going through 400 committees on committees. Some church services are complete chaos. I've heard churches that boast, proud of, brag about. Anything goes in our church. We have to leave room for the Spirit to work. Well, you probably should have left room for the Spirit to work in your planning and organizing in the days leading up to the service. These churches tend to think that the Holy Spirit of God is nothing but a college kid waiting to the last minute to study for a test. They act like the Spirit never prepares ahead of time. And some churches are a complete chaos financially. They handle the Lord's resources and work in such a haphazard way that they bring shame to the name of Christ. I'll say one thing about money in the church. It's God's money, and a church ought to handle it wisely and orderly. These are things that should be visible to all. You can tell real quick if there's order in a church or not. If there's not, if services, if testimonies, if songs, and even preaching goes on and on and on, if money is wasted, if nothing gets done, you might be in a bad church. The fourth detail is the purpose statement. I like this one. This is easy. I'd ask a church if they have a clear purpose statement. See if they understand why they exist. Ask them, why are we here? What are we doing? Where are we going? See what they say. If they have nothing, then they are going nowhere. If you aim for nothing, you miss every single time. If they have a CEO business plan of building a new add-on and breaking barriers and raising money, then it's a business and not a church. If they have a clear biblical purpose, if they're evangelizing the lost, if they're expositing the scripture, and if they're making a strong and biblical disciples, then they are ultimately exalting the one true and living God, and they might be a good church. And lastly, we saw the doctrine, and we've looked at the details. These aren't things that you can see in one service, one visit. You have to dig a little deeper. The doctrine, the details. And lastly, look at the day-to-day activity of the church. I want to see how all this works out in the life of the people. Look for practice. If there's good doctrine, then there ought to be good practice. Do some people watching. Watch the people in the church. See whether the church practices the doctrine it claims to believe and teach. As James said to the church at large, prove yourselves to be doers of the word and not just hearers only. There ought to be practice in the pews and in the life of the people. Good doctrine leads to good living, or as the theologians say, good orthodoxy leads to good orthopraxy. You should see things in the church like biblical families, biblical children, and biblical marriages. Biblical lives in the workplace. No church is perfect, but a biblically sound church is aiming for holiness and godliness, and by the grace of God, they're getting better every single day. Look for opportunities. This is in the day-to-day stuff. Check and see about the involvement of individual members of the church. Do they exercise their spiritual gifts, or do they seem to expect the pastor to do everything? It is awesome to show up to church week after week and listen and learn. But a good church wants everybody to get involved, wants to get you using your spiritual gift. A good church wants pew sitters, that's good, but they want pew sitters that become gift users. So look for opportunities. Don't look for a place to go on Sunday morning and sit. Look for the day-to-day, I'm going to serve God in this capacity. Look for evangelism. There should be home and foreign missions as an important part of its ministry. You want to be, or should want to be, a part of a church that is helping you to reach your family and friends. You want to be a part of a church that is reaching out to the community with the gospel of Christ and is supporting missionaries across the world. You want to be, or should want to be, a part of a church that is changing the world for Christ. Why would anyone sit in a church that doesn't care about the lost here and abroad? In the day-to-day activity of the church, look for discipleship. I don't know about you guys, but I want to grow. I want people that will help me grow. So I ask, are there Sunday school classes or small groups that I can get involved in? I want someone to push me to become the best Christian that I can be. And good churches have this. They have mature biblical men that are helping younger men, and mature biblical women that are helping younger women. It's always been the case in a good church, and it always will be. And the last thing I'll add to the day-to-day activities is look for love, because a good church is a loving church. Do the members seem to genuinely care for each other? Do they minister to each other's needs? This isn't so much shaking hands and smiling. This is calling and praying and texting. This is funerals and weddings and birthdays. This is in the mountaintops and in the valleys. This isn't just church on Sunday. This is in the grocery stores and in the ball games through the week. It's self-sacrificing. It's humbling. It's putting others first. It's maintaining unity and peace, even in the midst of disagreement. It's loving the pastor and his family. It's not backbiting and gossiping. This is a church family, and it's a part of what makes a good church. I've been in churches where people, and I'm sure you have too, where people don't care 1 ounce about anyone else but themselves. Why would anyone want to stay in a place like that? I wouldn't. I'd find me a new church, a good one. So, the decision you make about what church to attend will greatly affect your spiritual life and the lives of your children. In fact, the decisions you make now could affect generations to come. So this is important. Remember that there's no perfect church, and no church will ever perfectly fulfill every one of these things that I've just said. Even as I've been talking about these things, I see areas in our own church where we can improve. The key is finding a church that closely resembles this criteria. And I know they're few and far between, but they are out there. If you're willing to do the hard work of looking and maybe even traveling to find one, because somewhere around you there's a small little church where the pastor is working his butt off, where he is faithfully shepherding the congregation and joyfully counseling them and diligently preparing and preaching sermons for his people. He is remaining true to Scripture and faithful to Christ. And there's a small little church where the people are engaged in the sermons and they're taking notes, where they are growing and they are loving and they are joyfully singing, even if the music isn't loud or contemporary or really all that good. But they are gathered to glorify Christ, and they pray and they go out to see people come to Christ. Somewhere around you is a small little church that closely resembles a New Testament model of a church. And if you go to a church like this, you are incredibly blessed. And you ought to thank God for his grace in your life. And you ought to be thankful for your pastor, because chances are he's not doing it for money or for the fame, but he's doing it for your eternal good and for his Savior. And I would encourage you, you ought to be faithful to that church, and you ought to serve it, and you ought to love it, and you ought to tell people about it, because honestly, you are in a good church. But if this isn't your church, it'd be wise for you to find it and go there, because it is one of the most significant decisions you will ever make. It is a decision that reaches into eternity.
We hope you will join us next time for another episode of Standing in the Gap. You've got to stand for something.